It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com. Join their team today. We will hit the skins, tell you the latest from training camp in Ashburn coming up at 7:20. But right now, we will head on over to the BetQL guest hotline. Say good morning to Kevin McCarthy. He is the entertainment reporter for Fox 5, in case you didn't know that.
K-Mac, what's up?
What's going on, Rick?
Hey, K-Mac, remember I told you that I was on the fence about long legs because you were high on it, but then two listeners texted in. One of them hated it. One of them loved it. So I was on the fence.
Yeah, did you go?
Cakes went to see it. Didn't really like it.
I gave it
He said Nick Cage wasn't in it long enough, and he said he didn't really – he said something was missing. I think that's what he said.
I thought something was missing from the plot.
Didn't like it.
There wasn't enough long legs on the screen. I gave it 3.5 cake batters. I was a little bit disappointed.
Yeah.
But saying Nicolas Cage is barely in the movie is like saying you didn't like Silence of the Lambs because Anthony Hopkins is on screen for 16 minutes. Like, people forget that Anthony Hopkins is only in Silence of the Lambs for less than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And he won Best Actor at the Oscars for that movie. And I think, to your point, it's called Long Legs, and of course you want more of that character. But I also think it goes to the point of Jaws. And I think the reason why Jaws is so effective is because you see the shark less, which makes it scarier, and you feel the presence of it. And I think with long legs, I think the less they show Cage, the more effective his appearance has become.
Let me say this.
I would disagree.
Whenever Jaws comes on, I will stop and watch it, wherever it is.
Of course.
When Silence of the Lambs comes on, I will do the same. If Long Legs comes on, I don't think I'm going to be that drawn to it.
Oh, listen, and I do want to make sure that is a distinction that we're making here. I'm not saying that Long Legs is on the level of Jaws or Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
I'm just saying that there's a school of thought about less is more and nuance and subtlety. But listen, you're not the only person. Like, Long Legs was one of the most brilliant marketing campaigns of all time because they sold that film. It's a $10 million film made through a very small studio called Neon. And the marketing for that film, did you guys see the video? I think we talked about the video where Micah Monroe, they recorded her heartbeat the first time she saw Long Legs. Have you guys seen this?
No.
No, you told us about it, I think.
So for people out there who don't know, there was a big marketing video that came out. So the first time that Micah Monroe, the lead FBI agent for the film who's trying to track down the serial killer Long Legs, the first time she actually saw Nicolas Cage in full makeup, they put a heart rate monitor on her, and she was like, I think her resting heart rate was like 65 or 70 or whatever it was. And by the time she sat down in front of Nicolas Cage, it reached 170. And it was like this really smart idea of explaining because the scene I'm referring to, Cakes, when they're in the interrogation scene, which is really, really well done. But they really marketed that film as like the scariest film of the year and the decade. And obviously, I don't think it lived up to that. So I think a lot of people left disappointed. They do these things called cinema scores where you leave the theater and you give like a grade between an A and an F. And the film critically was really well received, but people were giving it like a C+. And I think that's because people expected it to be something different. I think it's more of a slow burn, Silence of the Lambs type of film. But I don't know. I dug it, but I also understand why people aren't liking it.
All right. So obviously the huge news at the movies this weekend, Deadpool and Wolverine. I believe it was released last night because my kid went and saw it like at 9 o'clock last night. So give us your review. I know it's highly anticipated. It's going to make a ton of dough at the box office this weekend, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this has been a passion project for Ryan Reynolds for a long time now. You know, he's been trying to get Hugh Jackman to join side with Deadpool for many years, and you know, not to go into too much minutia, but this is important to know. I mean, you guys are aware that, you know, like with the different movie studios, different characters can play in different worlds. So, for example, with Disney, you have the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is where Thor and Captain America and Iron Man and Black Panther and all those characters, Spider-Man, they all play within the Marvel Cinematic Universe because that's all owned by Disney and Sony. But everything else, X-Men, you know, Wolverine, as I mentioned, Deadpool, those were all under the envelope of 20th Century Fox. So that's why Deadpool never existed with the characters like Thor and Captain America, because he was in a different studio. And then Disney bought Fox, and now all those Fox characters, all the X-Men, all the Deadpool films, that all now transfers over to Disney. So now Deadpool can play in the same world as Thor and Captain America and the Avengers. And so for years, obviously, the 20th Century Fox films, like the X-Men films and all those Deadpool films and Fantastic Four, those just kind of existed in a separate world. And now Ryan's kind of brought everything over. So this movie combines that, and now the X-Men and Deadpool can play with those characters. And so this film is really a huge deal for the Marvel Cinematic Universe because it needs it. The MCU, I mean, for people out there who are following it, it really hasn't been the same since Avengers Endgame. And Avengers Endgame was, you know, a culmination of, what, 23 films, 10 years of filmmaking. And ever since then, the MCU really just hasn't been what it's been. It needs kind of an injection of energy, which is exactly what Deadpool can bring. And this is the first R-rated Marvel Cinematic Universe film, the first R-rated film within the Disney films of MCU. And so this is a huge deal. And, you know, Ryan Reynolds already proved with the first two Deadpools that an R-rated superhero film can do really well. But you know who proved that before him was Wesley Snipes with Blade. I mean, those were early on films that did really well at the box office that were R-rated and superhero films. Those were also Marvel films. And so this is a really kind of historic in a way. And I won't give anything away or say anything else in terms of plot, but for people who aren't aware of what Deadpool and Wolverine basically is Deadpool and Wolverine is a team-up film where they're trying to, you know, save something. That's all I will say. And you have these different, you know, versions of these characters. And again, I know this is very, 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 very convoluted because there's so much that has happened in the superhero films over the years. But you guys are aware that Wolverine died in the 2017 film Logan, if you guys saw Logan.
You know what, Kevin? I did see Logan. Forgot that he died.
Okay. So he died in 20. So again, I feel like, even as I'm explaining this, I feel like I'm losing.
Was he and Hugh Jackman played Wolverine in Logan?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm trying to explain this as best as possible for people maybe who don't follow these films. So Hugh Jackman's been playing Wolverine since 2000, 24 years. And then in 2017, he played the character Logan and that character died. Now, as you guys know, and Cakes, I know you know this, with the Marvel films, there is an element called the multiverse, where you have different versions of characters. So, like, if Wolverine died in one universe, there could be another Wolverine in another. It's very convoluted. And so, basically, in this film, we are dealing with a different version of Wolverine than the version that died in the 2017 film, the version that Hugh played for 24 years. And that's why the character is able to come back, because it's a different version of the character. And listen, as I'm explaining this right now, it sounds absolutely insane, but that is the nature of these superhero films and what these films have kind of brought to the box office. They make billions of dollars. People love these movies. I saw it in a sold out film theater last night, and it was like a rock concert.
Yeah, like the first two Deadpools, by the way. The first Deadpool was made for $58 million. It grossed $782 million. And Deadpool 2, the budget for that was $110 million, and it made $785 million.
Yeah, and so to give some perspective, when I interviewed Ryan Reynolds for the first Deadpool film in 2016, was actually in San Francisco before the Super Bowl, we were throwing darts at a photo of Hugh Jackman's Wolverine because he's been trying to manifest this for so long. Also, it's important to know that, like, you know, there's been a feud behind the scenes jokingly between Ryan and Hugh over the years. And Hugh says, I'll never come back. I'm never playing the character ever again. And now they're back on screen together. So it is one of those things that for fans of these comic book films and for fans of these movies, it's a dream come true. And I absolutely was floored by it. I mean, I think what I love about the Deadpool films is they're genuinely emotional. I actually care about these characters. I think people forget sometimes the caliber of actors who play the superheroes. You're talking about some of the best actors of all time. Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. These are legitimately brilliant actors, which is why when you watch these characters and they're in spandex and they're in these costumes and they're comic book characters, you care because they actually are performing it like they are performing a drama or anything else. They're playing them as grounded people. When Iron Man dies in Avengers Endgame, spoiler alert, that, you know, that was years ago. But when he dies, dude, people legitimately care because Robert Downey Jr. is a phenomenal actor.
Right, hits you right in the feels. It hits you.
Yeah, when he says, I am Iron Man, and he snaps his fingers, that works because Robert Downey Jr. is an incredible actor. And, like, that's kind of why I find these films to be interesting. Like, people go, oh, they're superhero films. How are you watching adults run around in costumes and actually care about it? It's because they actually make them grounded and real and vulnerable. And there's love stories and there's team ups and there's friendships and there's brotherhood. And that's what I love about this type of film. I got to tell you, prior to Deadpool and Wolverine, I was kind of checked out of superhero films. I was kind of just done, fatigued. Too many TV shows, Loki, WandaVision, Captain America and the Winter Soldier. I'm sorry, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I was just kind of tapped out. I was fatigued and I was just done, kind of like with Star Wars. But this movie kind of really brought me back to understanding why I love the genre, if it's done well, if it's done unique. This is a very strange film. And I will say this, one of the cool things about it is imagine Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with Wolverine and Deadpool on a road trip. That's basically what this film is like. And it's violent, it's hilarious, it's emotional. The soundtrack is fantastic, has one of the best openings I've seen in a film in a long time. I think that if you are a fan of this genre, but even if you aren't a fan of this genre, I think that it's an entertaining concert that you go to and you just universally sit there with all these strangers and you're all laughing collectively. It's the quintessential idea of why theatrical experiences are important and pivotal. I sat there for 2 hours and 15 minutes last night, and I was entertained the entire time, and it was a reminder of the power of cinema, that you have these grown adults who go to work dressed up in costumes and make us feel something. And at the end of the day, that's all I can ask for. I'm spending $15, $17 on a ticket, and I want to sit there and laugh and feel something for a bit. That's what the film does. And I loved it. I mean, listen, I think Deadpool 1 is still the best. No question. Deadpool 1 is 5 out of 5. Remarkable, because necessity is the mother of invention. Less is more. They had less to deal with in that film. Second one was good. This one's better than the second one, right below the first.
I predicted you were going to give it a 4.5.
That's where I'm at. Yeah. I mean, and I think, if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, which I'm not really particularly a massive, massive fan of, but if you look at the reviews for it, it's an 80% critical, but the audience is 97%. And that's what I felt last night. Like, I think you could sit here and pick apart elements of it. I think the middle has some sections that are a little too slow. I think there's some lines that maybe don't land. But I think at the end of the day, what I felt in that theater last night is exactly what general audiences are going to experience when they watch it. It's just a great time. And I saw it with my girlfriend and she's not the biggest superhero fan on the planet. And she was laughing and she enjoyed aspects of it as well, even though she had not even followed a lot of the Marvel films or seen a lot of the Marvel films. And that's a big question people are having is, can you follow this film without seeing the others? And I think if you look at it as a through line of a character who's trying to save somebody or some or people who are important to him. That's the general idea of the movie. The other stuff just kind of blends in. And I think, I don't know, for me, watching an R-rated Marvel film with characters that we've all know and loved that was made by Disney is kind of insane. And there's some great cameos, and there's a great end credits scene. Make sure you sit through the credits. It's really emotional. And I think Hugh Jackman, by the way, Hugh Jackman's performance in this movie is the best he's ever played Wolverine. You guys are aware, like, I mean, this is so nerdy, but he's been playing the character for 24 years and he's never, ever worn the iconic costume. Hmm. The iconic Wolverine costume is the yellow costume. And for 24 years, he's never worn it.
What
he's
does
never
he been wear?
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all different costumes. It's like different versions. Like, people were just not letting him be the true Wolverine that he is.
Yeah, they're not letting him be the true Wolverine.
See, big scandal.
Now you get to see that.
All right, okay.
Listen, I know that I'm talking to an audience right now, or talking to, you know, you guys, and I know some of you guys are into superhero films. Eric, I know you're not. I am not the only one. But I'm what you call a moderate superhero fan. I did not read comic books as a kid. I like these films. I'm not like obsessed, and like, you know, I don't have comic book stuff all over my apartment.
Sure you don't.
I really don't, but I genuinely love living in this world and watching these films, because at the end of the day, these are the types of films that are keeping theatrical experiences alive. I mean, for smaller films to come out like Long Legs, you need films like this that are going to make $1 billion. Because it keeps that element of theatrical alive. And at the same time, if they're really good quality, then it works. And you're coming from a perspective here where Ryan Reynolds is so passionate about the material that you can feel his passion coming through the screen. And that's what I love about it. Like, is it a perfect film? No. I mean, does it have problems? Yes. But at the end of the day, it's made with heart. And it is an ode to love, and it is an ode to friendship and brotherhood and what's important in our lives. And I think at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for. And then to be entertained, and then it's super violent, it's super funny, and there's lots of surprises. So I dug it. I was all in, and I can't wait to see it again.
All right, Kevin, we got to run. So you give Deadpool and Wolverine 4.5 papas. We will talk to you again next week, my friend.
What'd your son think, Cakes?
He went to see it at 9:00. I mean, he didn't get home till like midnight.
Yeah, there's
no chance I've gotten his review at this point.
Text me afterwards. And by the way, are you guys going to Slipknot on August 9th? I hope you guys are going to meet me there.
I'm sure EB's going to go see Slipknot.
Eric, you want to get in the pit at Slipknot and go and mosh together?
No.
Isn't Green Day coming to Nats Park on Monday?
I think they're coming soon, yes.
Kevin, I'll go to a tattoo removal place with you. Remove some of your tattoos.
Eric, when are we getting our faces tattooed on our bodies together?
Yeah, that's unlikely.
Yeah, don't hold your breath.
Unlikely. All right, Kevin, thank you, Kevin.
Talk to you next week. It is Papa time. Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5, coming up at 8:00, John Feinstein. Next, we'll hit the Skins here on The Fan.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.